Poetry in motion, it's a familiar phrase, and sports fans have heard it applied to various athletes, gymnasts certainly, and figure skaters and others as well. In a new book titled Fast Break to Line Break, Todd Davis has collected essays by poets who found poetry in basketball. He joins me from WPSU in State College, Pennsylvania. Todd, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And one of the poets with an essay in the book is Jack Riddle, who joins us on the line. Jack, welcome back to Only a Game.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back. Thanks.
Jack, I want to start with something you wrote in your essay, which is titled, It Was Easier to Say I'm a Basketball Player Than It Is to Say I'm a Poet. You suggest that in basketball and poetry, quote, there is no such thing as getting it down, mastering it, so that you can do it all again the same way the next time. How and when did that occur to you?
Oh, I don't want to tell you when, because then you'll know how old I might be. But I was working with the poet Paul Zimmer, and he said to me one day, you know, you don't really learn to write poetry. You have to learn to write the next poem. And then that rang true to what my father would be saying over and over again as a coach. Okay, we won that game, but now you have to figure out how to play the next game. And yeah, they just dovetailed.
Looking at this book, Jack, are you surprised that so many other poets see some connection between what they do as poets and what they do as decidedly amateur basketball players?
I wasn't as surprised as I was pleased and grateful that Todd put these together, because I'll bet all of us grew up with a real split between being these strange people who were doing an art or these strange people who were bouncing a ball and trying to put it through a ring. And to bring them together was a joy. Yeah, it made me very, very happy.
Todd, was it a challenge to find enough poets with basketball connections, or are there poets / basketball players everywhere gnashing their teeth because they weren't included in this book?
I don't know if there are any gnashing their teeth. I asked some other poets that didn't have time to contribute an essay. I remember being the only English major on my college basketball team and feeling very lonely, getting to grad school, the same isolation, until I had the director of my dissertation, believe it or not, had played ball at Lamar. And he was the first person that I connected with and realized there might be a community of brothers and sisters who are both basketball players and lovers, as well as people who love the literary arts. Hmm.
You have included an essay of your own in the book. It's titled The Ball Goes In Clean, and there's a bit from the last part of that essay that I'd like you to read if you're willing to do so. It begins about halfway down page 81 with most of the people.
Sure, it's about growing up in Elkhart, Indiana. Most of the people I knew worked in factories, making RVs or car parts for Detroit, detailing converted vans or putting one-a-day vitamins in bottles for Miles Laboratories. Despite the fact that the line was a deadening, repetitious job, these folks didn't lose sight of the human need for rhythm and dance, for the play of language and nicknames and taunts. They're the choir that still sings in my head when I pick up a ball, why I still want to hear one more twine of the net as the ball goes in clean. Put simply, they're the only reason I ever tried to write a poem in the first place, whether it's on the court or on the page.
Are you suggesting there in part that both basketball and poetry serve as escapes from drudgery?
We need art in our lives, and I think sport, you know, we often think about it as that fiery competition, and that's part of it. Sometimes brutality is a part of sport. However, I think there is artfulness in almost every sport. And for me, the movement, the spatial relations in the game of basketball, the organic quality of it. And in Elkhart, Indiana, growing up, people weren't reading poems, but they were going to gyms in thousands and thousands to watch a high school game. People didn't talk just about the end score. They talked about an individual move, a flourish, and that's art.
Jack, Stephen Dunn, another poet represented in this collection, touches on kind of a dark connection between basketball and poetry when he writes, quote, if basketball offers you the possibility of transcendence, it more regularly offers you a sense of your limitations. he's suggesting, I guess, that both playing basketball and trying to write are often humbling activities.
Oh, often, more than often. Yes, and Stephen and I have challenged each other to a game of horse in the driveway, but he keeps avoiding me. I don't know what that... I have too many good moves. But, yeah, I would say that's true. One of America's most wonderful poets was William Stafford, who used to say, one out of ten, well... You know, we better hit 40% when we're on the court or we're going to get on the bench. And the poets have to hit only 10%. So, yeah, there's a lot of balls that just go around the rim and fall off when you're trying to write these things.
Stephen Dunn's essay also includes one of my favorite lines from the book of his realization that he wasn't as good a basketball player as he once had thought. He writes, quote, "The writing, as they say, was on the wall and it wasn't poetry." Maybe to keep from going nuts, athletes and poets both need a sense of humor.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's something I always remember from being a coach's kid, and from way back when I was little, what senses of humor there were on those teams of my father's, the sense of humor in the locker room. And if you notice, you can watch any baseball, Major League Baseball game today, a guy gets on first, a guy gets on second, the defensive player and the guy who just got on start talking. Before you know it, one of the other is laughing. And I tell you, it's just remarkable.
Yeah, but yeah. If you were making $8 million a year, you'd be laughing too, right?
Laughing too, yeah. Well, we don't have to worry about that. See, we're not tempted. You don't have an agent, Todd, do you?
No, we don't have that.
We don't have that kind of luxury. But when teaching poetry, I used to start off my intro course by telling the students, if you can tell a joke, you might be able to write a poem. Mm-hmm. There's something in the timing.
Todd, in an essay titled My Two Obsessions, Marian Haddad celebrates, quote, that almost accidental perfect rhythm in basketball, and I suppose in poetry as well. But the rhythm isn't accidental in either context. It's hard-earned, but in both cases we get the illusion that it's easy. Have I got that right?
It's definitely hard-earned. And Robert Frost famously said that free verse poetry is like playing tennis without a net. Well, Jack and I both write free verse poetry, and of course there are limitations with free verse poetry. It's taking a move and practicing it over and over and over again, whether that's on the court or on the page. And then it's that serendipitous coalescence, that synchronicity that suddenly you're saying something and it's in your voice and you pick up the rhythm, but you may not have planned it. It's like teaching my son how to do a behind the back into a spin dribble. He doesn't know if he's going to be able to use that move or not. And if he's thinking he's going to use it before he uses it, it'll fail.
Hmm. And I would like to put in a plug to disagree with Mr. Frost. Have you? I wonder if he ever tried to play tennis with the net down.
So how does he know?
I mean, it requires integrity. It's not an easy thing to do.
That's right.
Todd Davis is the editor of Fast Break to Line Break, subtitled Poets on the Art of Basketball. The book is published by Michigan State University Press, and the editor joined me from WPSU in State College, Pennsylvania. Todd, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much.
And we were also joined by Jack Riddle, who wrote one of the essays in the book. Jack, thank you.
Thank you, and go on YouTube and watch Todd hit 12 in a row.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Ferrati. Our intern is Philip Kisubika. We had help this week from WPSU in State College, Pennsylvania. And our senior producer is Gary Wallace. To view our photo galleries, please visit onlyagame.org. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word comes from CBS Sports national columnist Greg Doyle, who'd like to talk about eggs.
I do get free range eggs. You know, we all have little stands we make, and I don't even know why I make that stand.
I do, Greg, and it's because you hate seeing all those eggs stacked up and unable to wobble around. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. And the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at melvilletrust.org. This is NPR.